Hi, I'm Ryan, and this is a black screen behind us.
And I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase, and, well, let's just forget any kind of fancy intro and dive right into Season 4 of the Tabletop Battlefield! Welcome to Season 4 of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of the Army Showcase over at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. And well, 2009 is over. Here we are. It's early 2010. Let's get this new season started. Hope with a new, really cool, really awesome beginning, and we're already off to a heck of a rough start.
Yes, we are.
As Ryan pointed out, the black screen behind us says Jerry was supposed to join us over Skype, but apparently AT&T's network has collapsed yet again.
Oh, you have AT&T here?
Oh, I don't. He does. Everything works fine over here. I mean, everything's going great right now. It's his problem. Much like AT&T's problem. But,
okay. There you go.
Regardless, and Kyle, who was also supposed to join us, apparently ditched us for, well, what we think might be a date, so.
It's a date.
We got my phone up here, as we did 2 years ago. We prank called him. We're going to try to do that again.
So maybe he's holding her hand like, you know, you have beautiful eyes.
That'd be hilarious. Like, ring, ring, ring. Should we do it right now?
Yeah, let's do it right now. Why not?
Good.
Let's do it right now.
Jerry's supposed to provide a lot of content, so we're kind of like,
So we're starting out a new year.
But anyway, what we're going to be doing today, is, other than prank call Kyle, is we're going to go through some of the stories from last year, kind of touch on everything, kind of summarize up the year. Always do, basically answer the question. We look back at each game and find out, you know, are we still playing those? Are we sick of them? Why have we played them? Why haven't we done that? And, of course, our off-the-wall crazy review or a crazy award ceremony with some entertaining awards, like, for example, read out the names of one or two of your awards, Ryan.
Okay, like the New Guy Award, the Interesting Read Award, That Is Nasty Award, stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah. And I've got, for example, the Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better Award. The, let's see, the other one, Winner of the Race at the Bottom of the Ugly Tree. The I'm Too Awesome Award.
I Am Too Awesome.
So we'll get to those in a minute. Let's see if any chance Kyle is going to pick up here. We did call Kyle. I decided it's best not to air that particular segment. So let's go right into the actual news. Apparently he's not on a date. That was not very fun.
This show, we're going to be cutting a lot of stuff out of here.
Yes. Oh, goodness. So, 2009 was a relatively interesting year for miniature war games. Despite like the poor economy, we saw some new games, some revamped old games. We saw some interesting business strategies, which myself and Jerry talked about a few episodes ago. But let's just go through the main companies and kind of recap what they did, comment a little bit on what happened, and where they are going in 2010. First up, Games Workshop. Of course, they make Space Hulk, Warhammer 40,000, Warhammer Fantasy, and Lord of the Rings. Now, their two big releases last year were one, War of the Ring, which is an epic scale version of their Lord of the Rings skirmish battle game.
And I didn't know about this until this morning.
I tweeted about it. I mentioned
you
it.
You mentioned it.
Yes.
I can't, I'm sorry. I can't look at all your Twitter because you Twitter like 11 times a day.
I do.
Yes.
Sometimes. But regardless, like I said, this epic scale game, personally, I played it a few times. I wasn't terribly thrilled with it. Jerry, who would have been on the show, would be talking it up. I bet it would have been his Game of the Year award.
I don't even know much about it, and I'm still talking up. It looks really good.
I mean, it looks really cool.
Reviews I've seen.
The reason I don't like it so much, in terms of how the gameplay works out, it's very hero-centric, which, I mean, that's like, you know, what Lord of the Rings is, per se.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it kind of fits with the Lord of the Rings universe.
Well, but that makes perfect sense. I mean...
But I guess in terms of how the gameplay works, the heroes are so powerful, they basically just wipe through lots of basic troops. Which, I mean, they're supposed to, but for me, that type of gameplay I don't like as much. I like Warhammer Fantasy better, because it's more core troop-based. You got hero troops that are powerful, but they aren't, like, super crazy psycho.
Or evenly based.
Yeah. I mean, there's some really crazy stuff people can do.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's why you have those games, but you also have Lord of the Greens. Lord of the Rings.
The vegetarian version of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I can't. Wow. Anyway, yeah, Lord of the Rings. I mean, because people who are going to buy that type of game, like Lord of the Rings, they want to play like they do in the Lord of the Rings movies and how those are played out. So I understand why they do that.
Also, in terms of things, the fact that they make it more hero-focused, like super powerful hero-focused, separates it a little bit from Warhammer Fantasy and just being another epic-scale fantasy universe.
Yes.
Let's move on to Space Hulk. Garcia, we reviewed this in September or so. Or was it October, September, October, sometime August, sometime around then. Of course, this is the third edition of the game. The rumors about a new edition of Space Hulk showed up last April or something like that. And really? Finally, GW is completely silent about it. They're like, of course, there's no new Space Hulk coming. Of course, September, it shows up. Pre-orders, a little bit of a debacle in terms of getting the game. Like I talked about that in my top five annoying things of the year. But overall, this is a game we reviewed in terms of how we played it since we reviewed it. I don't think you have.
I haven't had time to, but if I have, I would. I mean, the game is awesome.
It's an awesome game. Yes. Definitely an awesome game. I played a little bit in a very short Space Hulk campaign with the Adeptus Maticus guys. I was, of course, the Gene Stealers, Tyranid's Rule. Well, they do. Yes.
They're great.
It's definitely something that I love to play, because you can sit down, maybe take an hour or hour and a half to play the game and put it away. It's basically combines what's awesome with the board game with what's awesome with the miniatures game, and it works really well.
Yeah, it does.
So we'll definitely be hear more about that later. And the other big Games Workshop news was basically their cease and desist, the cease and desist spam fest. Which, of course, if you don't know what's going on, Games Workshop sent a whole bunch of cease and desist letters, which are basically somewhat informal legal letters saying stop running your website. They sent it to some websites. I know TalkBloodBowl.com was a big one for a couple of different reasons. And it gets GW a lot of negative press about this, but partially, I mean, you could argue they could have done things differently. But the part of the problem comes with how United States trademark law works. Basically, GW kind of had to go after some of these sites because they're using trademark terms like Blood Bowl or something like that in their domain name. That's definitely a no-no. You just can't do that.
Okay.
A few of them did have artwork that was GW property that they were basically using as their site's main image and things like that, which is, and according to U.S. trade law, is a no-no, and GW would have to react on that. Now, there are ways GW could handle it better. A few big ones, though, was there's an online game system called Vassal. I've never used it, but it allows you to play war games online. So they basically can recreate all the online rules. And there was a Vassal 40K for playing Warhammer 40,000 online. You had all the rules, all the little guys. They're basically, you sign in, you're basically playing against someone, moving little sprites around the screen. Like, it's kind of basically a video game, but you're playing the rules of the board game.
Yeah.
Of course, GW shut that one down earlier in the summer, because obviously it's a violation of their property.
Yeah, it is.
Now, they definitely, it would be kind of cool to see them maybe buy the game or something like that, but they chose not to do that. I guess the one thing, in my opinion, where they really crossed the line was when they went after LibrarianOnline.com. This is a very well-known, very famous Games Workshop fan site, forum, kind of online magazine. And the reason they went after them was the use of what GW thought was infringing on the Imperial Achaea, which in Warhammer 40,000, the Imperial Achaea is the symbol of the Imperium. It's basically a double-headed eagle. Mm-hmm. It's all over the Space Hulk box here. And the logo of Librarian Online was a double-headed eagle, but it looked absolutely nothing like the double-headed eagle of the Imperium. Mm-hmm. Which, this is where you get really shaky territory, because GW said that was infringing on theirs, and eventually they changed the logo, but I guess the reason it really caused a lot of trouble is because Games Workshop did not invent the double-headed eagle. It's been around for thousands upon thousands of years.
Yeah, you really can't have that as a trade. I mean, a legal trademark. That doesn't make sense.
I could say, using it in terms of a sci-fi setting if it looked very much like it, but the Librarian Online logo did not look like it at all. It was, first of all, this is a very stylistic, artistic, blocky eagle. Theirs was, I believe, it was actually a real, like, double-headed, looked like an animal with feathers and everything. Not to mention, like they're saying, because, numerous churches have used it as symbols. Various Russian empires have used this
as
a symbol.
Movies use it as symbols. I mean, are they going to go after, if they're going to go for one site, they set a precedent, they have to go after everybody then, you would think.
We'll see what they do in 2010. Hopefully they kind of cut that crap out and find a way around it. I mean, Catalyst Game Labs, we'll talk about them a little bit later. They found an excellent way around it.
I mean, I understand, business like that, for them to make money, they
have to go after them, but it's it's part of,
I understand what they're doing, but there is a way of going overboard.
Yeah.
And they've obviously done it.
The best thing you can really do is try to get some of these laws changed. I mean, seriously, it's,
a lot of people are pushing for a looser copyright, looser trademark laws. If you like that kind of stuff, try to see, get it changed, you know. But anyway, that's a whole political topic and things. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. In 2010, quick wrap up what we got coming for Games Workshop. New Tyranid forces. These are the bug guys in Space Hulk, and of course my other secondary army, the Tyranids. This book will actually be out just a few days after this show is released, and it looks awesome.
So just a Tyranid, a rule book just for Tyranids?
Yes. Basically, every few years, the army gets their rule book refreshed. Because in Warhammer 40,000, if you're not familiar with the game, you've got the core rule book, and then every army has its own rule book that details of it. So every few years, they release a new rule book and use some new figures to go with it. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not really new creatures in terms of the Tyranid universe, but the first time they're going to be in the main core 40K game. Because there's main 40K, and there's lots of little variations of it you can play that makes more crazy, more super psycho. But the coolest thing is it's called the Trigon. I don't know exactly how big the model is. It's going to be probably about this big. It's a giant bug that bursts out of the ground and kills everything around it when it does. And these figures look awesome. I'm going to buy this guy first day. So that's a big thing.
I suppose it's better than the big egg, you know, next to my head.
Yeah, the big egg. It's actually over the corner, man.
yeah, you say that type of stuff just got shoved into the corner and never.
Oh, literally, it's in the corner behind the set. The giant dropship, overload dropship I built. There's new Beastmen rules for Warhammer Fantasy, and we'll probably see a few more Warhammer 40K related rule books. Possibly the Black Templars, Necrons probably, possibly Inquisition, possibly Dark Eldar, and there's a few of the Space Marines that might get a full refreshed rule book. Okay, let's move on to Privateer Press. Of course, they're the other main competitors of Games Workshop. Make War Machine, make Mons Apocalypse, and make this bad boy over here that I'm going to get ready to play in not too much longer.
Grind. It looks like an okay game. I snuck a peek. Looks okay.
So the big news from them last year, of course, was the Mark II Field Test, the new edition of War Machine rules, which are out now. ML Local Game Store I don't think has in yet, so I'll get those as soon as possible. But of course, they did like kind of a beta rule test. Kyle's army got super powerful, then got nerfed when the final rules came around. Sucks to be hit. That's his problem. Okay. Grind, this is obviously their standalone game. It is a Warjack-themed sports game, kind of like how Blood Bowl is a Warhammer Fantasy-related sports game.
I want to say something, though. The dice in there... Monster Apocalypse dice. Yeah. Are the same dice.
Yeah, it's literally the exact same Monster Apocalypse kit. Same number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my eye kind of twitched when I saw that. I'm just like, But I mean, we'll give it a full review.
It's how you
later.
Save money in game development by reusing parts. But yeah, we'll definitely do a full review of that in the next few episodes. Let's see. Other big news, War Machine's getting plastic figures. Oh, we got a price tag for them now. That's the other thing. Because for most of 2009, later in 2009, we knew they're getting plastic Warjacks, but we didn't know how much they're going to cost. They're going to clock in at $35.
For what?
For a single plastic Warjack. I don't even know if the metal ones were that much. Some of the metal ones were more expensive, but now we're talking like the Defender, the Ironclad, the Seether, basically the very original core Warjacks. Now $35.
For plastic?
And what you get is you get a plastic model plus a couple arms and other bits, so you can build one of three Warjacks. My hope, which I don't know if it works like that yet, was that you can take the arms from those and attach them onto the figures that are in grind. But I don't know. We'll see how that works out. Which, that's pretty expensive, but that's definitely another one of their whole Games Workshop-esque things, because a lot of Games Workshop figures come like that, where you can build... You know, one main figure or customize it about five different ways.
Yes.
For whatever reason, that's what they're doing. Of course, Monster Apocalypse had new releases. We talked about that.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome game.
Mm-hmm. Always awesome game, Monster Apocalypse.
So that's basically Privateer Press. They just had a pretty solid year doing lots of cool stuff. I mean, it wasn't hugely crazy or anything too terribly off the wall. Let's move on to Catalyst Game Labs. We haven't really dealt with them too much on this show. They make classic Battletech, Shadowrun, and they're going to be releasing very shortly here, Leviathans. It is a alternate history World War I game where we've discovered magic. And allows, instead of like the naval dreadnoughts in the sea, they fly in the air.
They're basically World War One dreadnought warships in the air.
Interesting.
And they're really, really cool. Uh-huh. So there's actually a, what they call the Lieutenant's Manual, like an introductory pack available for $3. I purchased it, so we may be running through that in a future show. Uh-huh. Haven't got around to printing it out and trying it out, but that's available for $3 off the Catalyst Games Labs website. And as mentioned about, they were doing something cool that Games Workshop could have done to avoid all this mess. And what they're doing is a lot of their artwork and some of the story elements behind Leviathan is being released under a Creative Commons, some form of a Creative Commons non-commercial license. Which basically means if you run a fan site that's non-profit, you can use all that stuff for free, no questions asked, and they're not going to come after you to sue you for it, like GW does, where they come at, where GW comes after you for using images that's from the Warhammer 40K universe. Catalyst Games Labs won't, because through a Creative Commons license, they've already given you the rights to do so.
Well, it's very nice
of
them.
And that is awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool.
The other thing annoying was that was going to be my big thing when I released my tabletop game this year, which is actually coming along really good.
So they beat you to the punch.
Yeah, they beat you to the punch. I'm sure they're not the first person to do that, but they're the first really big name to do it. Okay, I'm sure the smaller companies have been doing that stuff for quite some time. That's basically them in a nutshell. They also had a few other smaller standalone games. They got some more of those coming out. And of course, Classic Battletech is still going strong because Classic Battletech is awesome. Fantasy Flight Games in 2009 saw, first of all, StarCraft Brood War, which is hiding out over there. That is the first expansion of StarCraft, the board game. Absolutely fantastic.
That's fantastic.
But we haven't played it since the review, have we?
No, we haven't. Well, like I said, I mean, I've been kind of busy, I mean, throughout this year.
Yeah,
we have, so not really much time. It's not saying that you don't want to play it, but...
Yeah. It's, you know. Oh yeah, I love to play it again. I've been trying to recruit some of the StarCraft players at work who want to play it, but... We slowly get there. We were playing Battlestar Galactica, so it's one more step, getting a little more hardcore into StarCraft there. Chaos in the Old World was another big release, another licensed Warhammer Fantasy property.
Now, can I say something?
Go for it.
I had...
It's great if you stop me. I'm just running off.
Yeah, I mean, I just... I stopped talking. I mean, I'm not going to detail much about this game, but I started typing this online because when I saw this, I'm like, I've never even heard about this before, Chaos in the Old World.
Talked about it in the last episode.
This shows how much I pay attention. So what I did is I looked it up, and actually looked at the best direct source to look up stuff is YouTube. And so I just typed that in, and Fantasy Flight Studio, they have their own description of it, information on it. So if you want to look that up on YouTube, you can go ahead and find out more about it. But when I found out about it, I'm just like, this looks very interesting. Why haven't we play this yet?
It pretty much came down to time and when me wanting to spend the money on it.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
It's,
and that's what I
figured. It's worth the $60.
Yeah, it looks like it. I mean, I'd be real interested in playing it.
I guess if you don't know what the game is, it's a 3-4 player game set in the Warhammer Fantasy universe. Each one of the players controls one of the four Chaos Demon Gods, and you're basically fighting against each other to corrupt and destroy the world in some entertaining way. And if you're familiar with basically the way Warhammer Fantasy works, each of the four demon masters, or demon gods, whatever you want to call them, they corrupt the humans and the other beings in some way. Like, Slaanesh is through basically corruption and very decadence and rich in luxury. Khorne just kills people, enslaves them. You got Tzeentch, who's like a trickery and deception. And Nurgle's like disease and decay and rotting and stuff like that.
And you originally can't play these guys, right? These are like... Kind of new.
They've always been in the Warhammer Fantasy universe, but you never play them directly. You play as their fault. So you'd play an army of Nurgle or an army of Slaanesh or something like that. But you never actually play as the demons themselves.
Yeah. So that'd be really cool to play.
So in terms of 2010 for Fantasy Flight Games, we're going to see more of their license deal with GW. I believe they got a game coming out based on the Horus Heresy series, which is going to be something kind of, I think it's going to be kind of Twilight Imperium-ish, but only two players. It'd be very interesting to see that. Because obviously one player controls the Imperium of Man, the other player controls the demon-backed Horus and his legions of Space Marines. Let's see, WizKids. As we know, they came back at the end of last year, purchased by the National Entertainment Collectors Agency? Or something like that, the NECA. What NECA does is they produce action figures for movies and video games. Because if you look at what their licenses are, they have things like Gears of War. They've got Twilight.
Oh.
They got an assortment of other big name licenses. They got Green Day, the band. Anyway, but yeah, so it kind of makes sense why they would buy WizKids. They're in this entertainment industry and want to move into gaming. And of course, the first thing WizKids does was release more figures for HeroClix, because HeroClix was their most popular game. Now, racism? Hmm? Were you going to say something?
I said bless you.
No, thanks. For a cough?
For a cough, I guess, yeah.
Whatever. 2010.
It sounded like it hurt, so I mean.
It's getting better. 2010 is going to be an interesting year for WizKids. We really don't know what they're going to do, but it's going to be kind of, we can make
some
crazy.
It could be scary. It could be scary. If Kyle were here, I'm just going to be Kyle for a second. This could be very, very scary.
Now, in Kyle's defense, it is a different company. Mm-hmm. They basically purchase the name and the rights to produce the various games, except MechWarrior and Shadowrun. Those are not in there, I know for sure.
Okay.
There's like at least one or two employees that are similar. So I know there's one was blogging about it, but it is going to be a new company. So the legacy that we have of WizKids really wouldn't be fair to carry them over to the new company.
Funny how they're getting resurrected. It's kind of interesting to see.
But because I know throughout most of 2009, Topps, who owned WizKids before this, was shopping the name around, shopping their brands around, trying to get rid of it and bring some cash in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know how much WizKids was sold for. I don't know if that was disclosed or not. But you can see, written down here, the NECA rumor mill. Mm-hmm. You can see them definitely trying to continue in the tradition of WizKids, releasing lots of licensed tie-ins, i.e. Gears of War. That's a big one that's on there. You could go for crazy rumors based on what the current clients of the NECA are. Other company, Wells Expeditions, they make Arcane Legions, which ironically is not out here. Oops.
Well, wow. That's okay.
I mean, Arcane Legions is actually a fun game. Liked it, but we haven't played. I've played it since then. I actually took it to the local game store and ran a demo of it, and someone actually showed up.
Oh, really?
That's a nice change of pace for once.
Someone showed up.
Mm-hmm. And they actually came because they wanted to play Arcane Legions.
Interesting.
It wasn't they just randomly showed up, like, oh, what's this game? No, they actually came because I told them I was going to be there with Arcane Legions. They showed up. It was kind of cool.
Did they watch the podcast or something?
No. I sent an email out to the local.
Email.
Yeah. Local, newsletter thing or something.
But this is a game that I really don't have any interest in playing. Personally.
Really?
Yeah.
Why so?
Because for me, it was just a little confusing. Pieces, just for my.
Ugly.
Yeah, it was ugly. And I really didn't have good feedback with it. I mean, the dice rolling wasn't the best for me, and it didn't pack a punch for me to play. After playing it, first time around.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and just wrap up this stuff really, really quick. So in terms of Wells Expeditions, I assume they're going to do more Arcane Legions this year, but they haven't made any announcements about what they're going to coming out with in terms of expansions. Upper Deck, World of Warcraft Miniatures, we reviewed that one. We played it a little bit because of the Monster Apocalypse World of Warcraft thing.
We're taking head to head.
All right, game is still hanging around.
It's all game.
Kind of a rough year for World of Warcraft at the start with that whole Yu-Gi-Oh! Lawsuit thing, but I've rehashed that a lot. And then Blood Bowl, which I also forgot to put out here. Still playing it? I haven't, but that's time thing again.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind playing it. It's a great game to play.
I think I'd probably only want to play it, though, if we're actually going to play a season.
We're still in our season, practically, yes. Yeah, so.
That's the thing, you guys come back to whenever you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's do the award ceremony, or last thing before we get to the award ceremony, is we have to go through the top pages in the Army Showcase, of course, the website this is all about. Of course, top five were all me, but that's just because 90% of the content is from me.
It's from him.
So it's kind of a Jason Rules Fest right now. But the top five pages of 2009 were my Tau Forest Tigers, my rumors about Warhammer 40k 5th edition, my Tau Empire 3000 point Apocalypse Army, the Green Gaming website, which by the way, I just finished up series 2, that's all on YouTube, and the Tau Empire Tactics page, which I think we actually rank number one in Google for Tau Empire Tactics or something like that, which is awesome. So hopefully next year we'll see more pages by other people and not just me, but I'll go ahead and reboot this list in the next couple of days here and we'll get the whole process started all over again for 2 seconds. So the award ceremony. As I mentioned, how this works, we have a whole bunch of crazy off-the-wall awards. So, Ryan, you want to go first? I've talked a whole heck of a lot here.
I'm sure. I mean, do you want me to start with the book first? And sure. Just go into go a little it. Spiel about that? Yeah. Give you a break?
Okay. Yeah, go for it.
Okay. First award I have is not really related to miniature wargaming in a sense it is. But in one sense it isn't. You'll find out in a second. I got a wonderful gift from my wife for Christmas. Aside from the Tabletop Battlefield shirt that I got from Jason, this was my best gift. This book is Star Wars. It's Death Troopers. The author is Joe Schreiber, I think his name is. He's a horror book movie. This is the first Star Wars horror book, I believe, ever to be written. And so I knew this book could be either a really good book or a really bad book. Turned out it wasn't too bad, and I'll give that review in a second. The award for this book is the Interesting Read of the Year Award. And Death Troopers, like I said, it's a Star Wars novel. You introduce some new characters. The setting is set back in a time before A New Hope, for all you Star Wars fans out there. This book, and let me just get started with the so sweets about this book. Just a couple of so sweets. The great character building of some of the characters that you've never heard in the Star Wars universe before. There's good character building in this. There's good character building for some of the original trilogy characters that are also in this book. One sweet thing is the Death Troopers, which are stormtroopers that are zombie troopers. They actually shoot their laser guns in this.
Which, are they any better than normal stormtroopers?
Hmm? They get accurate. That's the cool thing is these zombies in this, they learn quickly. And so they react and adapt to the people they're hunting. They're trying to eat up. And they also adapt. They adapt to their environment. So they learn really fast. And they communicate very well, which makes the way the author writes this, it makes it, you just tense up even more because, you know, these zombies are getting wiser. And that means that the people that are still remaining left alive have to, pick up their pace faster and end up trying to get out of the situation that they're in. There's a good building of tension in the beginning of the story. You know, everything seems like it's normal, and then the tension builds, gets better and better and better. And it's just a great way it's built. And I read this book in a day. It's 250 pages around, and I read it within 24 hours. It was that good of a book. Like I said, the zombies are great. They're another favorite, so sweet. And I recommend this book probably for more. It's an adultish type book because there is a lot of blood and gore in this book. And I think that is a very sweet thing. There's probably more blood and gore in this single Star Wars book than any other Star Wars book out there combined together, which is really sweet. But just I probably wouldn't recommend it for anyone younger than 18, depending on what their tolerance level is for this type of stuff. My only really big concern about this book is it ended way too fast. It's like it was building up all the tension and stuff was going on, and I thought like there was going to be some big climactic event, and it just didn't happen. It just ended. And there's nothing resolved, which I guess the only good thing to be about it is I think they're coming up with a sequel for next year, so they'll probably be on my Christmas list for next year is the sequel book to it. But yeah, so that's the review for Star Wars Death Troopers. And definitely recommend buying it, reading it. It is a very fun read. First Interesting Read of the Year Award, yes.
Okay. Alright, let's go through my first award. The Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better Award. And this is going to go to World of Warcraft Miniatures by Upper Deck for the sole purpose that they created a WizKids game that was better than anything WizKids ever made themselves. A very simple, very fast-playing game that's decently amount of fun in the spirit of WizKids, but unlike WizKids stuff, it didn't blow chunks. Okay.
Wow.
Right.
Okay. Alright, I'm gonna give an award. Why didn't we review this award? And that goes to two games. The first game is Chaos in the Old World, and then the second game is the Lord of the Rings, War of the Ring by Games Workshop. Both those games. It's like, because I was thinking when I saw these games, I'm like, why didn't we review these if they're that good? And Jason gave his reasons.
Do you want a response?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The response, I guess, was Chaos of the Old World was, well, we just didn't have time. We might get, I'd like to get to that this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably going to buy that at some point in the near future after Grind. As for War of the Ring, the reason I didn't review that one is, I guess the general rule of thumb for miniatures games, they are fairly expensive, is I like to get a full two-player set for under $150.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can do that with Lord of the Rings, but you won't get the true epic, you know, large-scale awesomeness for that price, because the rule book itself is $60. Plus, I got some figures, and I might be able to pull it off. But it is... I'd rather wait till Games Workshop comes out with a starter kit for it. Therefore, the idea is Games Workshop is putting out what should be a relatively small set, but still fun to play with.
As long as you're keeping in mind to review both two of these games someday I'm happy.
Yeah. So if they put out a starter set for this year, like they do with, say, Black Reach for 40K or Skull Pass for Warhammer Fantasy, we'll definitely play it. Mm-hmm. My turn then, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the next one in line? The Forward Thinkers Award. This goes to Catalyst Games Labs for doing that Creative Commons licensing stuff with some of the fiction and the artwork for Leviathans. So they don't end up like Games Workshop and sue everybody that likes their product.
Okay.
That's all it is. That was just, they're awesome.
Okay.
They also make Classic Battletech, which is awesome too. That's an unrelated award.
Okay. My next award is, Feel the Horror Award.
That is our show image.
Horror. I hate it when I do things with my hands. Darn you, Jason. but yes, this award goes to the Gene Stealers from Space Hulk. Gene Stealers just make it look like an alienist, you know, an alien type a setting. It really gives you a horror type movie feel to this game. So yeah, I love the Gene Stealers when it comes to that.
Okay. Is that it?
That's it?
All right. I'm going to go with the Way to Open Old Wounds Award. This goes to Harmony Gold, who, I believe it's Harmony Gold. I hope I got this right. This is kind of embarrassing if it's not. They managed the Robotech license, who are now suing people who are making MechWarrior 5 because they think the Warhammer in MechWarrior 5 looks too much like the original Warhammer Battletech stole from Robotech. Bite me. It does not. I want that game to come out. Hopefully MechWarrior 5 comes out this year. Hopefully they get around this stupid lawsuit stuff, but way to open some old wounds, Harmony Gold.
You seem a little upset about that, Jason.
A little bit.
Yeah. Just tell us how you feel, Jason, okay? I mean, your audience of three is, you know, looking at you.
Audience of three, yeah.
Three cameras.
Well, that one's not looking at me.
Okay, well, it's still piercing, you know, the set, so. You can feel its gaze on you. Okay. I guess I need
go. For, yeah, go for one.
Okay.
Do you have an angry one?
Hmm.
Do you have an angry one?
I'm sorry, Jason. I don't get angry very often. You know, I'm very charismatic, so I apologize. Okay. Let's do this. Okay, I'm gonna do the destroy award, or basically, and don't do this at home.
And don't
award.
Drop that thing, because it's about $200 worth of figures in there.
Okay, I'm not dropping it. Okay. And the award goes to, this Games Workshop carrying case for actually having to put up with, Kyle's, badgering it. And also the award goes to Kyle, from the 3-2-1 Destroy episode, when at the very end of the episode, from, I think it's 43 minutes and 50 seconds into the episode. And it's after the credits, so you have to wait until after credits to look at it. Kyle takes, basically, it was one of the foam swords, and goes, BAM! And dang, this case just flies open. Oh, it is glorious.
See,
you got a phone call?
It's Kyle.
Oh, it's Kyle.
Come on, pick up.
Tell him an award.
How you doing, Kyle?
Right now.
We're doing our awards ceremony. Any chance you want to join us?
The what?
The awards ceremony, the crazy crap.
Did he even read the email?
Did you even read the email?
not really.
Okay, yeah, I didn't read the email.
Well,
I read the email, but it was a while ago. I haven't read it since.
Well, That's all right.
I know you were still in the middle of doing the podcast.
Yeah, we're doing the podcast right now, Kyle.
Yeah, we're doing the podcast right now. So, I mean, if you're bored, you can still come over.
Unfortunately, I'm placed up on my dad's, just due to, you know, personal, issues I talked to you about before. I just wanted, to apologize, for not being able to make it to the show.
Not a problem. You won an award, by the way.
Yeah, you won an award, Kyle.
For what? Being the most sadistic person?
Actually, you got an award from Destroying the Games Workshop Carrying Case. It's called the Destroy, Destroy, Destroy Award, or Don't Do This at Home Award.
Cool. What works have you guys won?
Huh?
What works have you won?
You're the only one of the hosts who won an award so far. Yeah. We'll go through them with you later, all right? We got to get back to doing our ceremony.
I made him feel better.
All right, we'll talk to you later, Kyle.
All right, bye.
Wow, well, that was a compliment coming from Kyle.
That was. where were we at? Oh, I was going to say, because Ryan hasn't seen the new show intro, where the new show intro has each one of us with some kind of little video segment doing a little bio.
Oh, my.
And, of course, Kyle is taking the Dagger Here sword to the, the Games Workshop case. Okay. Let's go to the Greatest Figure Name Ever Award, and this goes to Monsterpocalypse Now for King Kondo. I love that name.
What was the award again?
The Greatest Figure Name Ever Award.
Greatest Figure Name Ever Award.
Good. Ryan.
Okay, and Jason's probably wondering about this because I told him about this award, just not who won it. This is called the New Guy Award. Basically, this past 2009 year, we've had a few new people pop up on the show.
It's definitely the most diverse crowd. I want to get even more diverse this year, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so basically, and I'll probably have this next year too for any new person that pops up this year. But basically, this is New Guy Award for, who I think was, one of the best guys to come up on the show and just gel with us really well, as a talking type team, because it's kind of really hard to gel with us sometimes.
Sometimes, yes.
But my work goes to Joel. Joel was very good. He did two episodes with us, and let's see, all right, I got him right here. Episode 21 and episode 19, when he helped us review Arcane Legions and Space Hulk. And Joel, that's for you. New Guy Award for the year. Sorry, you can't get it next year.
All right. For me, winner of the race to the bottom of the ugly tree.
Oh my lord.
This could be one and only Arcane Legions. Those figures are so ugly that it's just disgusting. I mean, in terms of they fall apart so easily. So it's just, I like the game and it's so close to being a really good game. It's just these figures are just awful. So they get the award for the winner of the race to the bottom ugly tree and the process at every branch on the way down.
Lord. Well, I can't disagree with you. That's totally true.
All right, you got another one, Ryan? I got a few more here.
Yeah, I got a couple more. Okay, let's do That Is Nasty Award. And this is basically looking at reviewing some of the shows from last year. Basically was what appeared on the show that appeared to be really, really nasty. And that award goes to Jason, the Nasty Award. And this happens in the same 3-2-1 Destroy episode, which is episode 20 of last year, of season 3. And it's actually at the very end. It's in
46
minutes where you see Jason talking about stuff. And he reaches to get a drink of water from a cup to where he set it like 4 days ago.
You just see
the look on his mouth after he drinks this, and he's like, "That is nasty," and it's hilarious. Watch the episode.
Take that, Kyle. I got an award too.
Hey, you got the Nasty Award. What's up with that? But yeah, that's season 3, episode 20, at the very end. It's like 46 minutes into the podcast. So go ahead and view that. And you could probably just post it on YouTube, probably. I mean, both those segments you probably could post on YouTube. Pretty funny.
So let's go with the I'm Too Awesome Award.
I'm Too Awesome.
And this goes to a single figure from Space Hulk The one space marine that is ripping off the head of the Gene Stealer and carrying it with him. So he's the space marine, Stormbolter in one hand, he's got the Gene Stealer head and neck dripping with blood in the other hand. He is the I'm Too Awesome Award, because that is such an awesome pose. That is the one of the best figure poses I've ever seen from a game.
Okay. Now,
let's get over there.
Next award, okay.
Oh, that.
This award goes to...
This is dedicated to Kyle as well?
It's kind of a Kyle-ish award, but it's actually just dedicated to what Kyle gave me, is my Warjack War Machine that is not assembled yet. And so the award that goes to this is I Will Build My Warjack Someday Award, meaning I don't know when I'm going to build this, but I'm just giving an award to say someday I might build it. And I'm all out of awards, I think.
That's good, because that's the last of mine.
Okay.
At least for the Miniature Wargame Award. I've got one non-Miniature Wargame Award. Do you have any of those?
A non-Miniature... A couple of them I did.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, go for one of yours first.
Well, I mean, I already did them.
Oh, you did them. Okay.
Yeah. I think.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, my one non-Miniature Wargame Award goes to actually the best YouTube video, which up until about December was going to go to the Keyboard Cat video with the guy trying to do the rap dance on the treadmill, which is hilarious. But there was one video that was just so awesome in terms of reduction value, it has to win it. It's called basically Panic Attack, Robots Invade Montevideo, which is the capital of Uruguay and down in South America. And it was produced on a really low budget. And it is just amazing to watch this video. It is truly an excellent work of special effects. It literally giant robots walking the city, launching missiles, blowing stuff up. This aerospace fighters diving in and just like smashing into the buildings. It's like, holy crap. It is really cool. And if you haven't, I'll put a link to it in the show notes. If you haven't seen this YouTube video yet, it's absolutely awesome.
Definitely watch it. Your mouth drops and continues dropping throughout the whole segment. It's just amazing.
All right. Ready for, do you have Game of the Year picked? Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do.
Wait, go ahead. Do your game of the year.
My game of the year is, and I don't think this is going to be a surprise to you, Jason, it's Space Hulk. I mean, I was kind of in between, I just remembered that we did review StarCraft the Brood War, and that would probably be my distant second, but Space Hulk definitely, I mean, hopefully they keep on selling these games so eventually I can buy my own set, because this game...
They haven't yet.
Huh?
They haven't yet.
Okay, cool.
They haven't... made any more yet.
Oh, they haven't made any more yet. Okay. Well, hopefully they do, because this is a game definitely I want to buy, definitely want to play. It's right up there with HeroScape for me.
Game of the year. We're in agreement. Space Hulk is the game of the year.
Woo!
It was above and beyond.
We really need confetti here.
It was really just an absolutely awesome game. You combined a lot of good elements together. It was so much fun to see all the strategy and things develop. It's definitely by far the game of the year.
Yes.
Hands down. So.
Hands down, hands
game
up.
Of the year is done. Put that off the side. Do you have a Lifetime Achievement Award?
Yes, I do. And it goes to Space Hulk, too. It's just the one item in Space Hulk that I loved. Yeah, Space Hulk. Yeah.
Is that upside down?
No, it's not. It's not.
Okay, go ahead.
It's the Flame Flower in...
The flame thrower.
I can't talk today. My head's cold. Oh, sorry. Okay.
Last year's your feet, this year's your head. Make up your freaking mind.
I'm sorry. And my feet are starting to get cold too, actually. It's my whole body.
Go ahead. Flamethrower. Okay. Rules.
Okay, the flamethrower impact zone. I love it. Basically, what this thing does, it keeps the Gene Stealers away after a few turns. It's very good in the strategy of Space Hulk. So, yes, Lifetime Achievement Award goes to these things.
My Lifetime Achievement Award? Actually, go ahead and hold that case up again. Okay. The Games Workshop case. The fact is, it's really expensive, but that thing is a beast.
Yeah, it is.
There is no way. I was amazed when just dropping that 10-pound weight.
Withstand that 10-pound weight, off. Yeah.
Like, wow. That is... I'm just trying to think of the best way to put it. It's awesome.
Beyond words.
I know it's expensive, but I would definitely buy that case again if I needed to, have something else to put my figures in. It's just awesome.
Yep. I agree. Full agreement.
All right. Well, that's about it for our award ceremony. Mm-hmm. Hope you guys enjoyed that crazy crap that we always like to do instead of the usual kind of stuff most people do. So it was fun. How was so 2009? Awesome year for you, or what do you say?
Well, like, you mean as far as miniature war game is concerned?
Just you personally. What do you say? 2009, was it awesome?
Oh, it was awesome because I got married. I mean, you know, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better wife, for a better match for me. I mean, speaking personally, I mean, it took 27 years to find the right woman, but I finally found her, and she's great. I mean, if you have a woman that buys you stuff like this and still lets you come out on weekends to play this stuff, yeah, keep her. Please.
Okay. I'd say 2009 for me. It's a good, definitely a good year. It's definitely some interesting stuff happened. Looking forward to 2010, doing some more independent film work, working on I actually won my first award for video production and special effects, because that's about the one thing I could win at. And I did that. So I'm looking forward to, you know, making a sequel for that movie this year. I'll probably have it up on YouTube, hopefully by the time I get this darn show done. I've been meaning to put it up for like a year now. Yeah. Not a year, but
posted
like
in the show notes.
The show notes too, yes. Yeah. Or just subscribe to my stuff on YouTube. You'll find it there. Definitely awesome year. I'm looking forward to 2010. For me, my biggest thing is, as I'm doing the sequel, definitely want to finally finish up my miniature war game that I've been working on. The one we played a few times. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of the counters done. They're actually on neat little bases over there. I got the rules pretty much finalized. Hopefully I'm going to get the public beta out very shortly. I'm looking forward to get this thing done this year. Ryan.
2010.
Well, I'm looking forward.
Yeah. I mean, it's gonna be good. I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, basically starting from the ground up. Mm-hmm. But another highlight from last year. I almost forgot about this. Earlier in December, I was actually a production assistant for a motion picture. It was my first motion picture debut. Even though I wasn't acting, I get my name in the credits. It's called Exit 33. It's a low budget horror picture. So probably
it's coming out. When's it got a release date?
There's like a DVD release date. It's probably going to be in like another couple of months or so. But yeah, I mean, really cool horror film. The guy who plays Jason in Friday the 13th movies, Kane Hodder, he was our bad guy
This
movie. Yeah, and really friendly guy. He's humongous, but he's really friendly guy. But yeah, that was almost the most fun I've had. I mean, especially never working on movie sets before. It was really cool. But anyway, future 2010. I have a lot of video editing to do with certain projects. I got to keep my wife happy. Looking forward to some of the games we're playing, like Grind, end up reviewing. Just another year for me.
Yep. All right. Well, I guess that's probably about it for this show.
Yeah, I think so.
Here should be our collective goal for 2010.
Yeah.
We need to get Kyle on Twitter. And here's why. He actually might want to do it for now. He got the new Motorola Droid, and he absolutely loves updating his Facebook status all the freaking time. So now we just got to get him to do it on Twitter.
It's really easy to do. I mean, and to where he can kill two birds with one stone to update on Facebook and Twitter.
I agree. We should get him to try to do that now.
And I apologize that if I haven't updated my Twitter account much. I lost my cell phone number a little while ago. So within a few months, I'll get a new cell phone number, and update Twitter more often.
All right. So with that, I am TT_Battlefield on Twitter. I'm going to put yours out there.
RManMan4, if you want to see what happened 3 weeks ago. Go ahead.
Email, questions or comments, send it to jason@rockosoftware.com. That's rockosoftware.com. And you can also check out the website rockosoftware.com. I've kind of redesigned it. It's still kind of ugly, but it actually what it has now, and I don't know if it's been the past week or two.
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
Yeah, because you posted a show link in your email.
That's so. Right, I did do that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I actually wrote my own application for my Palm Pre, which allows me to take pictures and post it right up to the homepage there. There's a valid reason why I did that. You guys will see some cool software I'm working on. The reason I'm doing that, but it's kind of a little test bed for it. But yeah, it's kind of, if you want to see random events that I go to and things and are hilarious pictures, I'll post them up at rockosoftware.com. It's really totally pointless website, but it's basically a test bed for something I'm working on for bigger. So with that, hope you guys had an awesome 2009. Look forward to hopefully 2010 is just as great for you. I guess time to sign off then.
All right, I'm Ryan.
I'm Jason. Thanks for watching. We'll see you again in about 2 weeks on the next episode of the Tabletop Battlefield.